Digital has given every voice a platform. Will yours be heard? If there is one skill that everyone needs today, it's not just the ability to communicate, it's the ability to connect. My mission is to give you the communication skills you'll need to inform and inspire, sometimes using digital tools, but always with human outcomes. My guest this week is Daryl D. Frater, early stage startup advisor.
Relationships are the single most important thing in the world. And since you took the time out to comment on my, post, that's an opportunity for me to thank you and to engage and build a relationship through that comment. And for those people that don't take the opportunity to build relationships with the people that are already engaging with them, you're really doing yourself a disservice, and you're also doing a disservice to the individuals that took the time out to say hi to you or to comment or to engage on your content.
Let's begin. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to someone amazing, Daryl D. Frater. I had the great pleasure of meeting him through LinkedIn, and since then have formed a relationship, and he was kind enough to come on the podcast as a guest. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Daryl has made a lifelong commitment to playing a major role in the effort to close the racial wealth gap here in America. He believes that entrepreneurship is the key to fix all problems that exist in the world, and he wants to be on the front line of preparing the next generation of leaders to fix them. His passions for problem solving, mentoring, and entrepreneurship led him to officially begin his entrepreneurial journey with the departure from his job in June of 2018. Daryl challenges all entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs to consider how they can include a positive social impact within their business. He is confident that a shift towards social entrepreneurship will make this world a better place for every member of humanity. Daryl, thank you so much for joining the show.
Craig, that was amazing. I just love the way that you read and articulate everything. You have the best narrator voice ever.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it. It's usually because there's good content, and there is certainly great content around you. You have done quite a bit in a very short period of time, and so we want to talk about what has led you to this moment and what's to come. But first, you've described yourself as a purebred entrepreneur, and you've coined a new lane for entrepreneurs. You call it serial social entrepreneurship. Maybe you can tell us the backstory on that.
Yeah, everyone knows about entrepreneurship and serial entrepreneurship and social entrepreneurship individually, but there's not too many people out there that serially, in terms of opening multiple social impact businesses. And that's what I aim to do, because it's hard to find an entrepreneurial individual that cares a lot about the impact of humanity and also cares a lot about business and not just focus on, making a lot of money. But what I'm doing is showing that the best businesses are actually the ones that have a social impact and empower others. And my goal is in 2019 and beyond, I'm going to show the world pretty much that social entrepreneurship, and specifically serial social entrepreneurship, starting multiple social entrepreneurial business, is going to be able to bring you a lot of revenue and also have a huge impact on the world. Because the most sustainable businesses are the ones that help others. And if you have sustainability, you can easily attain profitability as well.
So it sounds like there's a nice synergy there. And clearly you found that out while in college when starting your non-for-profit. Would you recommend college students do the same thing?
I honestly wish I started in high school. The earlier, the better. Because if you have the entrepreneurial bug like I did at an early age, the sooner you start nurturing that bug and you start really giving an opportunity to grow and, become something that's a part of your person, you really have a leg up in the entrepreneurial world just by starting early. So as soon as you have, just like I know a lot of people talk about, like, oh, when I was four, I had a lemonade stand. Like, that kind of stuff builds a lot of experience in entrepreneurship. and you learn a lot and you are able to apply that to things you learn and do in the future. So for entrepreneurs out there and aspiring entrepreneurs, please take this time right now. If you need permission to start early, hear it from me. Start right now. You can be an entrepreneur at any age. It just really takes courage and a willingness to take risk and just go out there and do something you've never done before.
That's fantastic. And I guess there are opportunities for young ones to participate in non-for-profit organizations or events, even at a very, very young age.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of different programs, especially recently, that are popping up. A few like incubators or accelerators are starting up where corporations are and individuals are starting pretty much hubs where people can sign up and start businesses as a cohort, where they give you all the resources and, you know, teach you the methods of how to, you know, start a business and go through different methodologies of business startup. So it's really interesting. And a lot of the times those organizations have funding at the end of their cohorts that actually help you get your business off the ground, whether it's nonprofit, for-profit, or anything. So there's a lot of opportunity out there. You know, entrepreneurship is very exciting right now, and it's only going to grow and become much more of an important facet of life.
You know, you've made it your lifelong commitment to play a major role in the effort to close the racial wealth gap here in America. I was wondering if you could briefly explain to the audience what the racial wealth gap is, and then tell us what you're, you know, doing to help to close it.
So pretty much the racial wealth gap is just an index or a set of numbers that just points out the differences in wealth accumulation by different races. And the numbers are staggering. For a African-American family, the average wealth, meaning total assets, is roughly $17,600 per family, African-American family, while a white family on average, in terms of wealth, total assets, whether it be from inheritance or whether it be from what they earn themselves, is $171,000. Mm-hmm. So for African Americans, $17,600, whites, $171,000 of average wealth. That's a huge difference. And I, for one, do not believe that race or the color of someone's skin should play a huge role or a role at all in terms of a person's ability to accumulate and build wealth. There's a lot of things that have occurred in our history of this country that have played a big role in this being the current state of divide in terms of wealth. And I want to play a huge role in changing that through entrepreneurship, social entrepreneurship, and being an advocate for entrepreneurship and providing opportunities for entrepreneurship for other people in other communities. And, you know, just really being the person that is going to stand behind something and make sure that something is changed in this country and eventually globally in terms of racial wealth gaps.
Yeah, that's incredible. You know, in preparing for our conversation, I did some research about this, and I came across one particular article in Forbes, in fact, by Ryan Thompson, called "The Racial Wealth Gap: Addressing America's Most Pressing Epidemic." And he highlighted some very interesting statistics. For instance, he brought out that the Economic Policy Institute found that more than one in four black households have zero or negative net worth. That's mind-blowing. And that's compared to less than one in 10 white families without wealth. So clearly there is disparity. So what exactly are you doing to help close this gap? What specific things are you focusing on?
So currently I operate four businesses. And as of today, I just added a new business to my portfolio. So I'm going to run through my businesses real quickly. I don't want to bore you. My first business, of course, Heart and Soul, is my family business. GF Builders and Associates, which my dad started over 25 years ago. And I just recently, 3 years ago, as soon as I left, actually, I was just my senior year of college, I started a new leg of that business called Advanced Homes Kitchen and Bath Cabinets. Mm-hmm. So that's the family business. And my plan is to scale that business up from a regular general contracting business. And we just added the cabinet custom kitchen and bath cabinet portion, but I'm going to scale it into a one-stop shop home rehabilitation company. We're actually going to have a huge community impact that's going to be really disruptive. And the premise is we're going to be able to buy homes from cities that are abandoned and run down and build them into homes that are going to, you know, help the community build the property value, because every time you have abandoned or a home that's not currently being occupied because of, you know, it's not suitable for living, it reduces the property value of the houses around it. And those kind of things are what kind of set back inner cities from prosperity and wealth, because the houses that they're sitting in or living in, either they don't even own it in the first place, or secondly, if they do own it, it's not gaining any value as time progresses. It's actually decreasing the value because of these abandoned homes. So we're actually going to buy these homes, rehabilitate them, and actually distribute them to the community members through a unique crowdfunding method that I'm going to be able to utilize, where community members are going to be able to obtain ownership in the houses that we buy and rehabilitate, for them to build residual income through these investment opportunities.
Wow, that's absolutely incredible. And I don't mean to sidetrack, but that sounds like something HGTV should be aware of, right? Because it's doing a number of things. It's giving back to the community. It's giving people an opportunity to have part of the quote-unquote American dream. Is that something you've thought about pitching to them?
I haven't. That's a great idea. I will do that.
All right. Keep us posted.
So that's the family business. Second, two businesses that surround youth entrepreneurship and helping youth start businesses. So one is called the Urban Entrepreneur Centers of America, where my partner, C. Sunny Martin, we started it, and we're opening up our first center in Columbus, Ohio. We just are in negotiation for closing the building. Next week should be the closing date. And pretty much that's going to be the hub or incubator or center of learning for entrepreneurs of young age. So our current model is going to cater to high schoolers. But my goal is to actually scale that up to a K through career model. And it's going to be the hub or the incubator where, you know, youth are going to be able to come into our centers, learn entrepreneurship through our courses, our seminars, and different conferences that we're going to host. Physical centers. And then the next business that relates to youth entrepreneurship is called Sharpshooters Global, which is my consultant company that teaches youth how to start businesses and walk them through the lean startup method to really take their ideas from their mind and bring it right to the marketplace. So I'm able to consult and guide them in the actual process to start the businesses and be there as a mentor and an advisor. And sometimes if there's a proper fit, I can be a part owner or investor in their company. And that's what happened today. Me and a young fellow from New Jersey out here with me, he sought me out, and we worked a deal where I'm gonna help him grow and scale his apparel company. And he's a very passionate man, and I really wanna help him succeed in it. We're going to work on this project together. It's called Max Life. And his purpose is to give people the confidence through his apparel company to live their max life and live the best life they could possibly have, follow their dreams, be confident in yourself. And really, there's no limits to life, and you should enjoy it all and, you know, be successful and really spreading a positive message. So I'm really happy for what he's doing with that. He's very ambitious, has met with a lot of key people in terms of entrepreneurship and the sports industry and also the entertainment industry. And he's just a go-getter. And his name is Maxim. Shout out to Maxim. Max Life, the only life. And I'm really excited to work with him. And then lastly, my next business is a tech startup called Safe Fast Technologies, where we're working on developing technology that's going to speed up the processes on the internet. We're actually going to create our own platform that's going to be an improvement to the current internet and possibly become the next standard of what we know as the internet. It's a unique way of distributing data that we've were able to acquire, and it's in-process work that we're actively building, and I'm really excited for this project. It's a really good feeling to be a tech founder and to do a lot of research to take something that's an idea and to bring it to something that's amazing and could really change the scope of how we do anything in terms of online transactions or online connections and information and just surfing the web in general. So that's a very disruptive business, and I'm extremely excited about it because it's going to add a lot of good, not to just innovation in technology, but into innovation of man and allowing people to be able to utilize the internet from pretty much anywhere and places that didn't have access to the internet before. So there's a lot more to it, and some of that I can't even disclose at this time, but just look out for that, and that's coming rapidly, and we're excited.
You know, I guess the most logical question would be, when do you sleep? But seriously, that's absolutely fantastic, Daryl. And clearly the common thread or theme being woven throughout each one of your ventures is the ability to help those who are disenfranchised to really have a positive social impact on your fellow man and woman. And that's absolutely fantastic. And I really wish you all the best. It's going to take a lot of energy, and clearly you have it. And that gets me thinking about communication as it relates to the digital space. So I want to shift gears for just a second. Your goals, your outcomes are very lofty as it relates to all the things that we spoke about. But I'm thinking particularly about racial disparity or wealth disparity as it's been prevalent in this country since its founding. How important are digital tools to you when communicating your message and helping people as it relates to, you know, closing the gap? Clearly, we didn't have these tools 20 years ago, but we do now, and you're leveraging them. How will this help really change the game when really trying to close the wealth gap and the racial disparity gap?
Oh, man, this is something that I'm excited about. The internet and access to education is unparalleled to any time period ever that existed. People from all over the world of pretty much any background could have access to information that's going to get them, you know, building wealth and being able to do things that, you know, their parents or grandparents never had the chance to do. With the access to podcasts like your podcast, you know, audiobooks, you know, resources online and online courses, you know, edX, you know, LinkedIn Learning, so many different platforms for learning. And a lot of it is free or very inexpensive to purchase and learn these things. Like through, you know, my tech startup and, you know, meeting a lot of people, I've met individuals that learn code through 5-week programs online. Mm-hmm. And after those courses, they get a job in technology and they're making 70, 80, 90K. And it's like, you can go from not knowing anything to being a somewhat expert or intro level expert and start building, you know, wealth and opportunity for yourself through the access of education. And it's an amazing thing, especially overseas in places like Africa and like India and a lot of places that there's a large population of people that do not have access to the same opportunities that we're fortunate here in America have. So it's a very, very, very important thing for us to understand that the education is available and it's at our fingertips with technology. And the more that we realize that these things are here, the more we can, you know, have what it takes to take advantage of it. And don't take it for granted, you know. Mm-hmm. For anyone listening to this podcast, you have the capability to use these resources. Because if you have the internet to hear this podcast, you have the internet to go do some research and to find these courses. You know, you're doing a good thing right now because you're listening to this podcast and you're going to get some great knowledge. And there's audiobooks out there that you can learn and, you know, gain some great knowledge from as well. So just really, really don't take it for granted. It's a resource that I've been using actively for the past 10 months. So I'm even late to the game and I wish I was on it sooner. But it's been a game changer. I wouldn't be able to do anything I'm doing right now if it wasn't from the knowledge, the motivation, and the courage that I got from the people that I've learned from podcasts, audiobooks, online learning courses, and individuals that I've met, like Craig through LinkedIn and other social media platforms. So it's between social media and these online learning opportunities, there's so much information out there to help you succeed in life. And it's just an incredible time to be alive and an incredible time to just be on this earth. And I really believe that through technology and the access to the education and the different resources available, this world is going to be a much better place. And it's just going to be somewhere that we're going to be happy as humanity that we've grown so much in terms of, you know, opportunities and the way we think and the way we interact with everyone else on this planet. I really believe in the fact that we're shifting towards a global economy, and you're not going to be 100% thinking about, oh, I just live in America, or I just live in China, or, oh, I just live in you know, South Africa. You know, you're going to, you know, constantly be thinking about, you know, how things are going on in the entire world, because a lot of your friends are going to be overseas. A lot of your business partners are going to be overseas. A lot of the customers you deal with are going to be not in your country. And the world is becoming a small place because of the internet and technology. And it's also going to help reduce, you know, racial tension and racial issues, and, you know, help diversify, you know, us as humanity. And it's just a great thing.
Thank you. That's something. You know, you are not only a consumer of content, but you are a prolific producer of it. On LinkedIn, you have some upwards to 13,000 followers since I last checked. And I'm quite impressed with the way in which you engage with people on LinkedIn. Some of your posts, you'll have hundreds of likes, just as many comments. And you take the time to reply back and engage with those comments, sometimes extensively. Why do you do that?
My favorite quote that I say, and it's on my LinkedIn head banner thing, relationships are the single most important thing in the world. And since you took the time out to comment on my, you know, post, that's an opportunity for me to thank you and to engage and build a relationship through that comment. And for those people that don't take the opportunity to build relationships with the people that are already engaging with them, you're really doing yourself a disservice, and you're also doing a disservice to the individuals that took the time out to say hi to you or to comment or to engage on your content. So there's so many benefits. I can go through them forever because they're legit endless benefits of engaging with the people that want to engage with you. A lot of the times people are really caught up on, how do I get more followers? How do I get more engagement? Mm-hmm. But they're not even taking care of the people that are already engaging with their content. So what do you expect is going to happen when the other people start engaging with your content? They're going to come and they're going to leave. But for people that engage and you build relationships, those relationships go far beyond those comments. And they're not just looking for your posts, they're coming to message you in your inbox and to have conversations and to just talk about life and get on calls like me and Craig are doing right now. And it's like, those opportunities would not have happened if I didn't, first, one, start making content, and two, start engaging with everyone that engages with me. And there's so many benefits that come out of it, and some of them are not going to be as easy to see, but others are going to be very, very easy to see. And others that aren't easy to see sometimes are going to be the ones that are the most meaningful.
Mm. I completely agree. In fact, you know, engaging on some of your posts, I've been able to meet others, and we've subsequently engaged, and now some of your connections have become my connections, so clearly it works. You know, I wonder if you could share with us some stories, some instances where, you know, the engagement went beyond the post, and, you know, you really were able to connect with someone, and they were able to, and you were able to benefit from. Are there any stories that you can relate?
So many, man. But this one's kind of cliche, but there's so many. But the one that stands out the most, I wish I had a... This one's great, but it's just so like obvious that I'm tired of telling it. Yeah, but it's my partnership with C. Sonny Martin for the Urban Entrepreneur Centers of America. Mm. You know, he saw my content, my daily success tips, and he saw, you know, my engagement. He saw the content and the context of my content that I was putting out, and he knew that we had a similar mindset in the way we think. And when I told him about what I was doing with Sharpshooter Global, you know, advising youth in terms of starting businesses, he was already in the process of thinking about how can I make a center or a hub for these youth to learn about entrepreneurship. So there was a connection right there, mm-hmm. and we were able to decide to collaborate efforts to build the Urban Entrepreneur Centers of America into, you know, something that's going to be very disruptive and spread like wildfire as we franchise the model and, you know, send it across the country and eventually internationally.
You know, you've experienced quite a bit of success in a very short period of time, and that's wonderful. But, you know, and many of us know that success doesn't come without failure, you know, without setbacks. And of course, in the world of Instagram and even on LinkedIn sometimes, we don't see that. But that is certainly the case. I was wondering if you could relate some instances that you've made some missteps, or perhaps you've had something that went wrong, just so they know that things do happen, but you can still move on and succeed.
Yeah, definitely. Failure happens so often. And the sooner you realize that it's simply a part of the process and it's not really a failure, it's just a learning opportunity, mm-hmm. the sooner they become something that you actually appreciate that happened. Most recently, on Tuesday, I failed as a founder of a startup, for my tech startup, to apply to a SBIR grant, which is a small business innovation research grant that the government sponsors. My team, we were supposed to apply to this grant, and you know, we didn't get it together. We failed to submit by the deadline, and that was a $225,000 opportunity that we're not even in the running for anymore. And, you know, you learn a lot through failure. And for those that take failure and use it as an excuse to stop working and to quit and to give up, that's when you really lose, because you only lose once you quit. But those that take the failures, figure out where things went wrong and how they can improve, are the ones that are going to be able to get back up and succeed. Because it's all about making small iterations and improvements to your process that's going to get you to be a rock star or all-star or a winner down the line. No one starts out the gate and is a superstar. You know, you have to, you know, improve as you go along, so that way one day you can be, you know, amazing or great or best in the industry. And it takes time, but it's not going to come without those failures.
So true. I think people will really appreciate hearing that. So thank you so much for sharing. I want to shift gears to our what if section, which is a hypothetical portion of our show where I ask hypothetical questions, some kind of bizarre, some humorous, some mission critical, but based on some of the things that we've already discussed. But before I do, I wanted to talk about someone in particular who is very popular right now in the social space, who has had a lot of influence, and many have sought after him and even sought to model their business after him. And that person is Gary Vaynerchuk, or Gary V. You met Gary V. What was that like?
Gary Vee is amazing. You know, in terms of being a student to what he teaches through his podcast and his content, you know, I've learned a lot from him, and I've met him 3 times so far through his different events that one was in New York, one was in DC, and the other one was in Jersey a month ago at his wine tasting event for his family's wine company. And he treats everyone as equals, no matter how rich he is or how much money he has, and he treats everyone with respect. You know, I felt like I was speaking to one of my best friends. It's like he brings that energy that is not superficial. You know, it's exciting, and it's something that, you know, as I grow with my platforms and, you know, with what I'm doing with my personal brand, you know, I want to come with that same energy. You know, whenever I meet anyone, doesn't matter if I never met you before, doesn't matter if I've seen you once or 100 times, everyone gets the same respect out of me. Everyone's going to, you know, I want to definitely, you know, make sure that energy is there. And we always have a good time when, you know, we speak and, you know, interact. Because, you know, everything's about building relationships. And if you take the energy to build relationships, you never know the outcome. Just the fact, you know, being nice to somebody one day might have a total impact on their future. And you never know what effect you might have on someone else. So just be mindful of that and just be the best person you could possibly be, because things are going to come around. And the more good you put out to the world, the more good you're going to get. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, I'm a Christian, and I believe in faith, and I really believe that, you know, it's important to figure out what ways you can add the most value to the world and be a good person. You know, those things really, really have been a blessing to me, and I've seen the return on all my good deeds. And whether it's, you know, a micro return or a huge return, but everything I do, I have the perspective to see that there's good that came out of it, and it helped someone far beyond it helped me.
I really appreciate that, and I can attest to the fact that your kindness has helped me personally. I'm not even sure how we connected, but ever since, I've really learned a lot from you and have been able to raise my game, if you will, on the platform. You know, I call it remembering the little people, and little people meaning they may be little in influence, right? But they have big ideas. And so for individuals who have a larger influence, who take time out for those people who seek to accelerate their own, beautiful things can happen. And I write about that, in fact, in an article recently. But I want to move on to our hypothetical. So here's the hypothetical. What if tomorrow you were given the opportunity to be the chief digital marketing officer for the largest non-for-profit organization? I don't think I know what the largest nonprofit organization is. Let's say it's the Red Cross, or like the Red Cross. What would be some of your marketing strategies in that role?
Okay, so for one, I wouldn't be the founder or the digital marketing officer for a nonprofit, because I don't believe in the nonprofit model anymore. I'm so for profit, and I think having a sustainable business through profitability is the way to go.
Wow.
But because you can have social good, the title, the business structure of nonprofit, for me personally, I just can't go that route. I think being an ethical for-profit that has a greater good is the route. But nonetheless, to answer your question, I would utilize social media marketing, ads, to one, of course, you know, promote the mission of the nonprofit, and to figure out ways that you can engage with your audience and provide value through the internet, and use your digital platform as an extension of your company to reach, you know, pretty much an endless number of users, because through the internet you can connect with pretty much anyone. and use it as an opportunity to gain exposure, to build your corporate brand, and to help serving the people that you're helping through your nonprofit. Because the internet is a resource, and it's a resource that's very powerful. And if you know how to use it properly, you can use it to help more people and fulfill the purpose of that nonprofit. So I would utilize social media marketing and build relationships with multiple people throughout the network. And also, I would use influencer marketing. I think that's a huge space that can definitely help reach a large number of people, because with influencers on any platform, they've done a great job of building a strong relationships with the people that follow them. And if you can get the influencers to support your vision and goal for your nonprofit, it's going to have huge returns when they tell their followers to support you as well. So it's a marketing strategy that is underutilized, and it's something that brings huge returns. So I would say social media marketing, ads, and influencer marketing.
Well, thank you for answering that and being so transparent with us. But that's a great thing. So we really appreciate that. You know, as we close our discussion, I want to, you know, really focus on the real reason why we have great guests like you to come on, and that's really to help individuals to be able to connect using digital tools sometimes, but really making human connection. That's the outcome that we're looking for. You've done it well, and I was hoping that you could provide some best practices, or a best practice, to help the quote-unquote average person, woman or man, in their endeavors on, say, a LinkedIn.
To become a better digital connector, I would say, additional to what I spoke about relationships, I would utilize storytelling through content. I believe that for every interaction you have or every connection you make, it should be a part of your story. And storytelling has a strong role in establishing relationships, because, you know, the history of me and you knowing each other through LinkedIn, every interaction that we created is a part of our story together. Mm-hmm. And that story is what is the foundation of our relationship and why we're on this call right now. So I believe just consider storytelling as a way to, build your brand and to be able to have a voice and to be authentic with people. You know, because when you're telling a story, you're really leaving yourself vulnerable and getting people to see who the real you are. And that really plays a big role in terms of trust and building that connection. So it starts with first putting out content. Amazing things happen when you put out content. And then, consider how can you storytell through that content.
Fantastic. Daryl, it's gone by so fast. I can't believe it's almost been an hour, believe it or not. If people need to reach you, I know they can get you through LinkedIn, but where else can we find you?
All my social links are on my website, darylfrader.com, where you can learn more about my story. And you can also see the companies I'm working with and some of the projects that I'm working on. You can also, email me at daryldfrader@gmail.com. I'm usually responsive to all my social medias and all my emails. So feel free to reach out. And I'm big on LinkedIn, so feel free to find me there.
Well, Daryl, thank you so much for coming on to the show and sharing your story. We really appreciate it. And I'm sure I speak in behalf of those listening that we really wish you much success and can't wait to hear all the great things that are to come.
Thank you, Craig. I'm excited, man. And this was great, man. I love it. And good luck with your podcast, brother.
Hey, everyone. That's it for our show this week. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others on social media. And if you are so inclined, please subscribe to this podcast. Thank you so much for all your support. I'll speak to you soon.